This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Launched in 2007, the Neighborhood Enhancement Program is a 90-day collaborative effort between City of Cincinnati departments, neighborhood residents, and community organizations, all working together in an effort to improve the quality of life in the city's communities. My guests this afternoon to talk about the program and the progress it's made are Cincinnati City Senior Community Development Analyst Ethel Kogan, Keep Cincinnati Beautiful Executive Director Linda Holterhoff, and Cincinnati Assistant Police Chief Dave Bailey. Good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon.
You can join the conversation, 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Ethel, this all sounds very ambitious and very focused, bringing all these various different groups together and in 90 days making some significant changes in a neighborhood.
Yes, and the work really starts way before the 90 days. It is truly a collaboration. We talk about the three C's, collaboration, communication, and cooperation. There's truly, it personifies that there's no I in team, as the cliche goes.
And tell me about the different services, the different elements that go into the Neighborhood Enhancement Program.
Well, there is a partnership between, as you mentioned, Mark, the city, the communities, and the corporate nonprofit stakeholders. So the city brings to bear a multitude of our departments from public services, transportation and engineering, police, with us today, Keep Cincinnati Beautiful, city planning, economic development, trade and development, and a whole host of services that the city provides. We partner with the neighborhood, and we work with the neighborhood. What's critical to the success of this program, Mark, is that this is not a city do. This is a teamwork. It's a collaboration. We work with the community, and the programs that are most successful after the 90 days is up, it's sustainable after those 90 days. And the community can continue to work for progress to improve the quality of life in their area.
And Linda, how does Keep Cincinnati Beautiful fit into all this?
Well, we're at the table from the very beginning. We work with the 52 communities very closely throughout the years. We're very much a grassroots organization. And in the summer, when we are not doing it, a neighborhood enhancement program, we get together as a team and look at the cities as a whole, crime and blight, and we overlay those, and we choose the community, and then we start talking about, well, how does a community operate? Are they cohesive? Can they generate the type of volunteerism that we need there? Can they sustain the program? Is there infighting in this community? Because we have to have them joining hands and helping with this. Because as Ethel said, this is a city with, not a city do. And what we bring to the table, when the community does their wish list, what they want to see happen, a lot of that is cleanup and beautification. So we start planning a large cleanup with the community, and we use UC. UC is our partner, the University of Cincinnati. We use their Cincinnati scholars who are also working to do their community, community service days. Thanks, Ethel. And so we work with them. They bring busloads of kids to us, actually young adults, excuse me. And they bring these – they are such wonderful workers. And then they combine with the community. And we're looking at anywhere from 50 to – in College Hill, we had a couple hundred community members working together. So you can imagine what can get done in that day.
So, Ethel, it sounds like not every community would be eligible, or this wouldn't work for necessarily every community.
Basically, the Neighborhood Enhancement Program is a tool in the city's toolbox. It's most appropriate for a community that – has some problems, but is we want to help catch it before those problems become so entrenched that it takes a lot more than 90 days to kind of give it a jump start. Or a community that's kind of had a lot of problems and is on its way back up and can use a little bit of help. That's when this particular tool, the NEP, is most appropriate.
And Dave, talk about the role the Cincinnati Police Department plays in this.
You know, 27 years ago when I came here, policing was, let's go lock up bad guys. And that was it. That's pretty much it. We'll arrest our way out of the problem. You know, now, you know, I was a District 5 commander over there on Ludlow Avenue. I was over there for 5 years. You know, most of my job was really quality of life issues that affected the neighborhood. And you learn that when you go out to neighborhoods. you have a robbery problem, and we're going to help you deal with it. Yes, yeah, we know that. But we got some quality of life issues we really need you to deal with. And, you know, the police department's the most visible form of city government. We're there, open 24/7. And those problems really come to us. And this is really a common sense response, I think. Instead of the police trying to deal with everything, it's like, well, and I remember one time I talked to the building department, this building is a nuisance. You need to come here and board it up. Well, you know, the problem was I didn't understand the protocols. And I think what you get from working with all city government, you sit down at the table and you understand what each other needs. So now, you know, we could come to the table and we do meet. We meet every week and discuss, hey, we got an issue over here. What's the best way to handle it? And then one of our folks over in sanitation or public works will say, yeah, we can help you do this. And you get input from all facets of government and you get longer results. You know what I mean? So you got a problem-solving approach by bringing government together. It's more responsive. And then like Ethel said, you're looking for sustainability. And, you know, I remember we went to Northside. I don't even know what year it was, but
I can tell you. Northside. We were in Northside in 2007.
You know, and you think we went to Northside. We unveiled the NEP and we had buy-in. At the same time, we had a gang problem. We had the Taliban gang that we were working with out there trying to dismantle that. A lot of things were going on. But the piece that really was kind of rewarding in the end is we were able to mobilize that community to the point to say, you know, when this is over and this gang is prosecuted and maybe we leave and go somewhere else for a little bit, they were essentially trained to be vigilant and take care of their own neighborhood. And the residual impact still occurs today. Crime is down on Northside. The folks, they got their own piece of the pie they take care of. They, you know, some people are responsible for development. Some people go around checking for tires laying on the streets. So, I mean, people are out there and giving us information and helping us out.
Well, Dave, to your point, I think the word empowerment really comes to play here. Not only are we empowering communities to help themselves, we're also empowering city employees. In fact, just this morning we had our weekly NEP meeting for the current NEP. We're in East Price Hill. And city employees are empowered to problem solve and not necessarily just work up or down a chain of command, but to work in a high-performance team to get problems done.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's nothing for one of our officers to call somebody across the city lines. I mean, and say, hey, can you help me? I've done it myself the past couple of months. Come to think about it, we've had some issues in our target area in East Price Hill, and I was able to call, you know, our folks over at the buildings or wherever and say, hey, can you help us out? And the response is always, oh, sure.
Right. And we don't want to forget our friends at buildings here because they come
to the
table.
A large part. Yeah.
Yeah, they are a large part of it. They we don't go into the whole community. We look at an area that is, you know, where most of the crime and blight is occurring. And we say, we can tackle this. And can buildings and inspections tackle that as well? But they look at every single building, commercial, residential, in that whole target area. They write orders on it, and then they follow through on those. So they're a big part of what needs to happen. If the housing stock goes down, if there's weeds and litter, the property values go down. People that live on either side of that mess stop putting money into their house, and it just becomes a spiral, a downward spiral. So this is a real essential program.
The picture I'm getting from all this is it's a very broad, multifaceted program, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Very, very much so.
Right. Because you have buildings and inspections. You have the health department. Now, we also, during our stakeholders meetings that we have with the communities, we bring in, if there's a prostitution program, we have brought in off the streets in District 1. I remember that, for the prostitution problems.
Well, and in Carthage, too.
In Carthage. We also, some innovative approaches have come out of this. Actually, our Future Blooms program with Keep Cincinnati Beautiful is an offshoot of the Neighborhood Enhancement Program because we would leave a community and feel like we did nothing. And it was the abandonment. If you could just kind of target that abandonment, putting just simple windows and doors or painting windows and doors, flower boxes, an awning on a building, changed it from something scary and blighted to what one little kid said, it's a home, you know, and that's what we want it to look like, that somebody cares. Because as Dave knows, if it looks like nobody cares, crime increases.
Oh, that broken window theory. But you remember back in Northside, remember the alleys?
Yes.
When we first walked, yeah, they were scary.
Well, there were guns being.
Well, remember when we got done, It's like, wow, they're cleaned up, they're alleys,
and
we can walk through them.
And And that's one of those things. You light it up.
So, Linda, in future blooms, you have artists come in. They're painting these murals.
Right.
They're painting these window boxes. They're painting doors where there might be plywood, that kind of thing, to make the neighborhood look friendlier or more presentable. That's
exactly
the whole idea.
And thanks. We have a blight index, and I forgot to say, but this is, you know, very much statistically driven. We use crime stats from the police, but then we developed with our neighborhood enhancement team a blight index. So we conduct that blight index on every street in the area and then do that 90 days after, or before, 90 days after, and then a year after. And we also use that in our future blooms areas. So we know that where we have enhanced those buildings, there's less crime and there's been less blight. And then that started also us to bleed into the vacant lots. So we have a vacant lot program where we take that lot and we grade it, we put grass seed on, and we put a little picket fence up there, a tree maybe. And that way, you know, you get the sense that somebody does care.
I think at the end of the day, clean, we've drawn a strong correlation between clean and safe. They
absolutely
go hand in hand. This is no question.
You mentioned the broken windows theory, Dave. Explain what that is.
Linda went into a little bit. You know, when you see a neighborhood, and the theory was if one broken window today, tomorrow is a dozen broken windows, and properties become run down, and weeds begin to grow, and they're what they call invitations for criminal activity. If the neighborhood don't care to clean itself up, they're not going to care if we sell narcotics, if we are disorderly, if we shoot guns, and one thing feeds on another, and then you get to a situation where, you know, you're out of control and you have to do something more drastic. So we want to get in there and intervene before we get to that point.
And there's been little things that we've been able to do in the over the Rhine area. The drug guys were sitting on the steps and, you know, just waiting for their customers to come along. Well, the police came, and using their SEPTED, crime prevention through environmental design, they boarded up over the step, and then we did our painting. And guess what? They didn't have any place to sit, so they moved on. So that street became safe once again, just for a tiny little change.
And I think what we've added to the program just recently is basically sitting down with the community and having them develop a strategic vision moving forward. Mm-hmm. I think you got to give folks something to shoot for. It's like, what do you want to be? What do we see our neighborhood being a year from now, 5 years from now? And I think we're kind of doing that up in Price Hill now.
Yeah, we started that when we were in Carthage with our city planning department, started working on that.
Right. And we'll be in our big cleanup is in Price Hill. East Price Hill
Saturday.
This Saturday. Yeah, Saturday the 12th, 9 until, and we're having 150 UC students come, and, you know, we're ready to rock and roll. So anybody that wants to join us, come on.
So something as simple as cleaning up a neighborhood has a dramatic impact on a lot of things.
Oh, most definitely.
Boy, doesn't it? Mm. I've seen it over and over. No, you guys have been on more of these than I have been, but when we get done, what those neighborhoods look like and—
Well, you know, in Pendleton, all the every single alley was overgrown, and there was a rat problem. So we tackled that. The community wanted that tackled. And you never realize that people live up way up there. They're looking down on that alley. That's part of their yard. But it looked awful. So we public services came in and sprayed, and then we came in with the kids and young adults, and we we got rid of the weeds, and we had wheelbarrows going all over the place, and roll-off boxes or dumpsters just full of all this debris. So it really made a huge difference, Mike. It was night and day.
Well, it's amazing how many people out there in those neighborhoods care. I mean, and it comes to light every time we have one of these that folks are just concerned and just willing to say, I do care about my community. I'm going to do something. And there's a lot of folks out there to help us out.
513-419-7100. If you'd like to join our conversation about the Neighborhood Enhancement Program, you can also email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And which neighborhood was first? When did that happen, Ethel?
Well, in 2007 is when the Neighborhood Enhancement Program started. It was originally called City Focused Services. And in 2007, the program was in a portion of Price Hill and then in Avondale. And then there was a big change, and there was a need to make the program more collaborative. And at that point, it became the Neighborhood Enhancement Program, and that was started in Northside in late 2007. In fact, we're in East Price Hill now, and it's our 17th neighborhood.
And with the first communities that got involved in this, the first neighborhoods, what kind of effect did you have for them?
Well, I think, we have done the blight index a year later and have noticed that it has remained less blighted, which is good. But some of our real accomplishments have been some of the areas that we've cleaned up have been kept up by the communities. Now, some haven't, and that's been, some, I don't want to say failures, but you need to get back in there and set up that infrastructure again. But we've had a lot of success in College Hill and the Northside area. We went in and we painted buildings with Give Back Cincinnati, and those communities all of a sudden got it. They got what the broken window theory meant. And so they started trying to take those areas that were run down and do something with them and stay on the building owners. It's difficult working with some of these building owners that don't give a darn about – see, you didn't have to press that button, did you?
You behaved yourself.
They don't care.
What I told you soaked in.
But they don't care about their community, obviously, and they let their property values go down, and it's hard to work with them, even with a stick, that buildings inspections may have. But we've seen them being able to, like Dave said, become sustainable, know who to call in the city to get things done. And that's what this does, not only for the citizens, but for city workers.
Dave, do the police go in and work with the community to start like watch programs or citizen awareness initiatives as part of this?
A range of things. I mean, it depends on which community you go to, what the problem is, but it ranges anywhere from a block watch program to maybe something as simple as lock up and light up. Light up your homes, lock up your homes, and have people make sure that everybody in that block segment does that. Or maybe even handouts. If there's a problem in a certain community, that captain will say, we've got some handouts, let's distribute them. And just to make people think, lock your car up. Something that simple, really.
Right. When we had those kids go around, put your junk in the trunk. And they went around. If we know there's a certain problem in an area, like in the UC area, they did a great job.
Well, when we were in Madisonville, kicked off a Good Guys Loitering team in Madisonville.
That's right. They had a grill out on the corner where drug dealers usually, were standing. And, they didn't have anywhere to stand that night.
Nothing cookie cutter, but each community kind of decides what they think they can do.
And you did talk about the landlord training program too, right?
I'm sure you will.
Well, I think that's something the police, that we try to do in every community, because that's where we see a lot of the problems. These absentee landlords or landlords that don't care, or they just don't know or are afraid in some cases. The police try to explain. They bring in all the city departments too, but explain what a good landlord needs to do and what the police can do to help those landlords get those maybe drug dealers out of there.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. And let's talk with John in Northside. Good afternoon, John.
Hi.
What's your question or comment?
I'm a student at Elder High School, and I understand that it's a staple in the Price Hill community. I'm just wondering what the impact of these high schools and their students have on this program.
Okay.
Elder's one of our partners in East Price Hill, and in fact, a number of Elder students will be joining us again this Saturday for the Great American Cleanup in East Price Hill. And haven't they already participated in some other cleanups?
Elder has been an excellent partner with East Price Hill. We have been working, Keep Cincinnati Beautiful has been working with East Price Hill on a illegal dumping program, and Elder's just been, a great partner. And high schools, we were in Walnut Hills. Walnut Hills students worked with us on some of the projects around their school. So we have a good participation from high schools.
Well, and speaking of participation at the big kickoff press conference for the East Price Hill NEP, we were entertained by the wonderful steel drum band at Elder, as well as the Seton Vocal Choir.
That's right.
John, thank you very much for the question. And we'll talk now with John in Westwood. Good afternoon, John.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Sure can. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
I don't want to criticize anything, but I would like to bring up the fact that Keep Cincinnati Beautiful has been deciding and picking which mural art they have here around the city. If a private landowner has some muralist paint some art on their work, on their building, Keep Cincinnati Beautiful would contact them and say, sorry, we don't approve of that. And I've always found that kind of awkward, that they feel that they have the right to pick and choose what is art, especially given their new City Blooms project, which some people just don't find attractive. They think it's silly, and if you wanted to help these so-called no-good landowners, maybe some money could be dumped in helping them seal up and secure their properties rather than just paint flowers on the windows. But like I said, I just don't feel Keep Cincinnati Beautiful as much of an authority on art, since they've been telling private property owners for many years to paint over murals that were privately painted on their
property. Well, John, let's let Linda address that, John.
No, I think you're mistaken. We have told no one to paint over anything on buildings.
Well, and Linda, also, aren't the buildings that you all do the future blooms on, they're already secure by the building department?
They're
before
secure,
you come in.
And we get permission from the land or the building owner, but we have never told anybody what they can or cannot paint on their buildings. Maybe you have us mixed up with some other department or I don't know.
John, thank you for the question. Let's talk with Mike in Hyde Park. Good afternoon, Mike.
Good afternoon.
What's your question?
A great job. And my comment is what a great job that continues after the enhancement program. A lot of neighborhoods have trouble getting people to come to community council meetings to try to get volunteers, and the enhancement program really draws everybody out. And once they found out that there's a positive effect, it continues to grow, and they continue to do things afterwards. You might have one or two little drop-bys, but on the all-in-all, it's a great improvement, and it shows people that they can be empowered to change things and take part in their own community.
Well, that's an excellent point, Mike. And you know, when you get done with this, at the end of the day, it's a win. And, you know, neighborhoods realize, we won. Boy, look what we did together, and look at the positive impact we made. You know what happens? That just feeds upon itself, and what's the next project? And it really does grow, and that's what we want to see.
Thank you very much, Mike. We appreciate the question. Kathy in Delhi. Good afternoon, Kathy.
Good afternoon. I'm calling because I've heard you mention Northside and College Hill, and I work with an organization called Working in Neighborhoods that has been working in those neighborhoods in South Cummins Hill and others for years to rehab homes and organize the community. I'm wondering if you're working with Wynn to help in those areas.
Yes, Wynn is a great partner of ours. We work with them, in fact, specifically in College Hill. I remember that we were in College Hill in 2009, and in fact, we did a ribbon cutting on one of the homes on New Bells and one of their renovations on Cedar Avenue.
Okay. Thank you, Kathy, for the comment, and we need to take a short break here. And thank you for joining me this afternoon. Now, Linda Holterhoff, who is the executive director of Keep Cincinnati Beautiful, also Cincinnati Assistant Police Chief Dave Bailey.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks.
And after the break, we'll have more about the Neighborhood Enhancement Program, also in focus on technology. Ann Thompson will take a look at the future of 3D printing. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.